Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich and Christ. This show is like no other Christian show that you're going to hear in Christian media today, because I don't talk about the status quo having to do with performance-based religion. What I mean by performance-based religion is the popular message that is out there in the church today that says, if you do enough for God, God will do enough for you. This is a show where you're going to learn about the radical grace of God, the grace of God that shows up in our weakness and has absolutely nothing to do with anything that we do, anything that we say. And what I share is the reality of a real relationship with a real God. There's a lot of people hurting today. This economy that we live in has devastated a lot of people, people that have not suffered before in that way are suffering. And people that are dealing with debilitating illnesses, or people that know people that are dealing with debilitating illnesses, all kinds of relationship problems. And the Christian community is at a loss for what to do. Many people have tried all the formulas, all the how-tos. They've tried all the things that the televangelists have told them to do, and none of it works, and it's not supposed to work. Because the only thing that ever works for the believer, and the only thing that was ever meant to work for the believer, is what Paul calls the message of the cross. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, he says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved by it, preserved by it, continually saved by it, not only initially saved by it, but kept by it. It is the power of God. And if you look at the American church today, you look at the Western church, it's really a complete laughing stock. I mean, there's really not a whole lot of difference between everyday status quo American religion, quote-unquote Christianity, as there is in the world. People still don't have a clue as to who God is. They don't have a clue as to who they are, because they tried all of what the church says is going to work, and it doesn't work. And like I just said a few minutes ago, it was never meant to work. You know, you look at the Apostle Paul. I call Paul the doer of all doers. You know, he goes through that list and calls himself the Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day, perfect in the law. And he tells us of all the things, you know, that as a good Pharisee that he was about. Trained by Gamaliel to be the next, you know, high priest, one of the higher ups in the Sanhedrin. And, you know, that was Paul. And then he has this trip to Damascus where he's going to go and persecute Christians, believing he's doing the will of God. I mean, you talk about being so far off the mark when it comes to the plan of God and the plan of man. Just look at Paul as a Pharisee. And you can see what I'm talking about when I talk about American religion. And I'm not talking about American Lutheranism or Methodists or the mainline Presbyterians. I'm talking about any church, any organization, any system that puts the system before the cross. That's what I'm talking about. That can be Assembly of God, Church of God, community, fellowship, you name it, it can be it. And Paul calls that gospel where performance is involved and behavior is involved as a part of some kind of self-righteousness. He calls that the different gospel in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4, and Galatians 1, 6 through 8. And he says in Galatians 1, 7, he says, it's no gospel at all. He goes, this different gospel is no gospel at all. And the word gospel means good news. He's saying, folks, it may look like good news, but it's not good news. He goes, you know, in Matthew, Jesus says, if your eye is single, it's full of light. But if your eye is evil, it's full of darkness. And if that light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He's saying the same thing. Jesus is saying the same thing as Paul is saying. Jesus is saying there's a different gospel. And to you, it looks like light. But in reality, it's darkness. Because it's not life, it's death. Anything that comes out of humanity and the natural man and the natural mind that is set on the flesh and is at enmity with God, which means it's against God, anything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God counts as an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant, tramples underfoot the Son of God, and mocks the message of the cross, is the different gospel. And the different gospel isn't the gospel. It's a fake. And so Paul is on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians, and he has this event happen where he's knocked off of his horse, and he hears a voice from heaven saying, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And that was Jesus speaking union for the first time Paul ever heard union was right there. Because Jesus was long gone. This was after the death, burial, crucifixion, ascension of Christ. And so how was Paul how is Paul persecuting Jesus when Jesus wasn't there? And Paul says, Lord. And he didn't say Lord Jesus. He meant Lord as this is somebody that has a greater authority over me than me. There's an entity here that I need to pay attention to because I'm hearing this voice. And he's saying that I'm persecuting him. And he was persecuting the church. And Jesus said, "What? Whatever you've done to the least of these ones, you've done it unto me." So he was speaking union. The first thing Jesus said to Paul was union, was relationship. The first thing Jesus said to Paul was not, Paul, why aren't you following 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 commandments? Why aren't you doing this? Why are you doing the why aren't you doing this? He said, why are you persecuting me? And that's all about relationship. And that's what this show is about. This weekly show, which I've not been able to do the last 2 weeks because Linda and I, after 6 months, we finally sold our house and we've been busy packing and Linda's been dealing with her her diabetes and we've just had a lot of different dynamics going on and I haven't been able to do this the last 2 weeks. But the reason I do this show is because people want to have a real relationship with a real God, not just dead letter, performance-based religion. And so Paul learns right there that the God that he has been following his entire life, as a Pharisee, by the time you were 8 years old, you memorized the first 5 books of the Old Testament. And you talk about zeal, you talk about being committed. And Paul learned right there. And not only that, but he lost his vision. He lost his vision in that incident when he saw that bright light and he heard that voice. He lost his physical ability to see, but for the first time in his life, his eyes were open to the truth. That's called losing to gain. That's called loss. That's where Paul says over in 2 Corinthians, I count all things as loss. Or maybe it's Philippians. It's one of those. I don't know the address. I count all things as loss. Everything that was a plus in my life, I take it out of the plus column and I put it in the negative column. I count it as loss in comparison to the only plus there is, and that's Christ and Him crucified. That was His only life after coming out of that Pharisee life. And what were Jesus' words to Paul as soon as he was converted? Through another man, he said, show him the things he must suffer for my sake. He's got to know he's going to suffer if he wants to have a real relationship with God, because this deeply ingrained I am God complex as a Pharisee has to be dealt with at its core. And Paul has to lose his identity, and Paul has to lose his reputation, and Paul has to lose all the things that he thought were his life in order to see that the only life is the way and the truth and the life. And so Paul goes through this ordeal, and I think he went into through the trials and tribulations of his life, including the shipwrecks and the beatings and the imprisonment, and he went up into Arabia for 14 years and he spent 3 years with the disciples. I mean, all of this stuff was preparation for Paul to learn the truth of who he was in Christ. And God deliberately picked this doer of doers, this man who thought he could work his way into some place in heaven that would be above and beyond anyone else. And that's exactly what the different gospel lie is in 99.99% of the churches today. Because the pastors that are paid professionals instead of servants, instead of the meek and the lowly and the beggarly servants, the ones who've lost everything so they can lead the body of Christ through that loss and let them see their only gain is Jesus Christ. No, they're making somewhere between $60,000 and $110,000 a year as paid professionals in America today. That's the average. You can look it up on Google. So you tell me, what is the motivation for them to have a deep, abiding, real relationship with God? When they have perks and they have an income and they have people falling over them because they want to be a part of the system, they want to be a part of their group. So what's the motivation? What's the spiritual motivation for any man of God today to want to come into this losing to gain life? This foolishness that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 1:18. What's the motivation? There is no motivation. Because Christian success is the focus. And there is no such thing as Christian success. Christian success is an illusion. There's only one successful Christian. His name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible talks about Him taking up His residence in us and as us, 1 John 4:17, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, there's union. There's that intimate. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me, revelation of Christ in us and as us. And if you do that, he says, and apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, you tell me what part of nothing is something. So we have to come to the place of learning that we're not independent of God, working for God, doing something with God. We have to learn that we were created as the temple and the vessel and the branch and the lamp, all containing something. The lamp contains the light. The vessel contains whatever's poured into it. The branch contains the sap that flows through it to produce the fruit, which is for others. The temple contains God. It's not about the outward adornment of the temple. Over in one of the minor prophets, I can't remember what book it is. I think it might be Habakkuk or Haggai, one of them. I'm probably wrong. But there's this scene that the temple has been rebuilt, you know, after being destroyed. And in the Old Testament, the way the Old Covenant, that there had to be a dwelling place for God, which was pointing us to Christ. Because everything New Testament points back to the Old Covenant. Everything Old Covenant points to the New Testament, and it all points to Jesus Christ, every bit of it. And so they rebuilt the temple, and it says the old men wept when they saw the temple. And it says the young men rejoiced. And the reason the old men wept was because they were smitten with the outward adornment of the temple. They were smitten with the ivory and the inlaid gold and all of the things that the outward adornment of the temple represented. The young men who never saw that temple were excited because there was a dwelling place for God. We are that temple. That temple was nothing more than a wooden shed. That's what we are. We're the earthen vessels that contain the excellency of God. Jesus Christ living his life in us and through us and as us. But you won't hear that in American churches today because the price is too much. Because in order to walk in the revelation of Christ as your life, you have to lose everything else that you call your life, including every earthly relationship, every earthly accolade, every earthly achievement, every earthly goal, hope, dream, or vision. It has to die. You have to allow God to roll death in on everything because God only resurrects that which is dead. And if it's not got the breath of God on it, I don't want anything to do with it. If it's dead letter, performance-based dialogue that has no life, that doesn't challenge the body of Christ to embrace the cross in their own life and to look at weakness in a whole different way than what weakness has been presented to us even in the church today. Because if the pastors start glorying in their weakness, the cross is going to be worked in their life first. And they are going to lose stuff. Just let God touch what's at the center of your life today. Just let him touch whatever it is that your life revolves around. Is it your ministry? Is it your status? Is it your family? What is it that your life revolves around? That if God was to touch it today, you would be crushed. You would crumble. You would fall like a house of cards. Let him touch it. That's the price that has to be paid. That's what Paul paid. That's what Peter paid. That's what James paid. And every one of those men of God came to the place where they saw trials and tribulations and sufferings as the gateway to glory. God moved them beyond whining and complaining and hanging on to their life. Paul said, these momentary light afflictions are nothing in comparison with the weight of glory. Peter said, after you suffered a little while, the God of all grace will perfect, strengthen, and establish you. James said, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith is developing something in and through you that is bigger than you. And yet you're not going to hear this gospel. You'll hear it here every week. And there's very few people that listen to this show. I post it on Facebook and very few people open it up. But you know what? God showed me a year ago, my ministry isn't to the many, it is to the few. He used a woman, a pregnant woman in a parking lot in Visalia, California to show me my ministry was to the one-on-one. And so I'm perfectly fine with whoever does or doesn't listen to this show. But this is the real gospel. There is no other gospel. This is the good news. The good news is that someone else is living his life in us and through us. And that other person that's living his life in and through us is the only real person that's ever been. The only complete real person. Jesus Christ. And Jesus was a great prophet, a wonderful teacher, rabbi, master, and everything was fine in his life until he opened his mouth and he said, I and my Father are one. Read it. As soon as he said it, the Pharisees plotted against him to kill him because they weren't going to give up their God, which was themselves and their religion and their system, and their manipulating ways such as the tithe and getting people to focus on the future, the rapture, the second coming, and losing their today because they're so afraid of tomorrow. That wasn't Jesus' way. That wasn't Paul's way. So what are you dealing with today? What is it that you're dealing with today? Have you lost your house? We almost lost ours, and God came through at the last minute. I prayed, I asked God that the person who buys this house will walk in the door and they will sense the Spirit of God say, this is the house. My wife Linda talked to these people the other day that are buying our house. They came by our moving sale. I was in bedroom with the flu. And they said that very thing. That's exactly what happened when they walked in this house. And this house wasn't supposed to sell. This house has stuff wrong with it. And yet they said they're okay with it. I mean, God moved in, and it was at the last minute when there was no more hope. I had just put out an appeal to the Facebook family, and I'd never done this in the 4 years that I've been writing and sharing and ministering on Facebook for help. Because my wife deals with, as a brittle diabetic, she deals with plummeting blood sugar. Her blood sugar levels go down, and we're dealing with that right now. There was an ambulance here the other day. An ambulance has been at this house 5 times in the last 4 months for Linda. And I can't work a job because I have to stay here and make sure she's okay. Right now, until we get this thing situated. She's gone on dialysis. She lost her kidneys. This is the losing to gain life. This is where you lose your life for his sake. This is where you find him as your life. And because God created us with a single eye to see only him in all things, we can only serve one God at a time, and God will not have any rivals. God only wants one thing, everything, and he won't settle for anything else. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I do this show most of the time. I do it every Wednesday. I haven't done it the last couple of weeks. I'm not sure a whole lot of people probably miss me, when I'm not doing it, or even know that I'm gone, but that's okay because I'm doing the next thing that he's doing inside of me. And I've struggled for 35 years. Most of my 35 years as a believer has not been a fun time. Because early in my walk, when I was a young man in my early 20s, somebody presented me and he offered me, basically. He said, "Rich, do you want everything God has for you in this life?" And I said, "Yes, I do, Bob. I want everything God has for me in this life." After coming out of the 70s and drugs and alcohol and that whole thing, he said, "Well, then just pray this prayer." And the prayer is, "Lord, bring me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who I am in Christ." And for 35 years, God has done just that and is doing just that still to this day. I've lost everything several times, homes, jobs, my relationship with my children. Almost lost my life in 2011. But God has opened up himself to me where I see him as my only life. And there's nothing else that I desire except to see you see him as your only life. I've got a 31-day devotional that I wrote. It's a deeper life devotional. It's for the people who really want to know God, not just know about him. And if you private message me on Facebook, Rich Novek, N-O-V-E-K, our ministry will send you a copy of that book free and postage paid to any place on the planet. Today, we've sent out hundreds of books around the world. We pay the postage to get there. If I send a book to Africa, that's $11 plus the cost of the book. You're not going to find another ministry that's going to be doing that, not that I know of. Because it's more important for us to get this book out into the hands of the body of Christ than it is for us to make a buck off of it. I life coach free of charge. I counsel free of charge with the mind of Christ, not with psychology and not with a dead letter. And we do it all free because freely we received. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:18, we give it free of charge. I wonder if the churches will ever get that. And you'll never hear that message in a church, by the way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to minister your life. Ask that you unstop the ears, open the eyes of the people, God, that are listening today, that they might know you, God, in a way that they've never known you before. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Till next week, God bless.